203. This is the 202nd episode, 203rd episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I started numbering them. I went back and figured it out.
There's 203 episodes of this.
We're Wikipedia bona fide and everything.
That's
else.
More than that's more than how many episodes there were of MASH.
Don't think that's
yeah,
true.
Not true. This is our crime, this is our sin, but I still believe, through the pain, through the grief, through the lie, through the storms, through the cries, through the wars, oh, I still believe.
Okay, welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight,
not very futile at all. This is important stuff.
No, this is important. We got,
this is world-changing stuff here.
We got Tommy Wiseau's groundbreaking...
Paradigm-shifting
debut film, The Room.
It was his closing film, right? His swan song?
I'm not sure.
Wasn't it?
It's both his debut and his swan song. All in one.
All in one. So, Zach, you got a copy of this from your buds in the biz.
From my best friend, Luke.
And
Luke's my best friend.
And he was like, you've got to see this. So you saw it, and then you were like, hey, you've got to see
this. He told me about
it
for a long time.
Were you skeptical?
No, I really wanted to see it because I had seen clips of it from things. And Tommy Wiseau was a monumentally bad actor.
I want to talk about Danny. Let's talk about Danny.
Danny is
the meat and potatoes of the whole movie.
Meat and the potatoes.
Yeah.
And the peas.
Yeah, so he told me about this for a long time and claimed he was going to get me a copy, and it was never available on DVD. It's touring the country right now, but it's also plays monthly at like the Arclight or something, the Lumiere, one of those two, Hollywood 7. Or the Grauman's, I don't know.
Luke goes every month?
He doesn't go every month, but he goes like probably once or twice a year or something like that. and it's...
Are you feeling down, maybe?
It's just this movie now that's so bad that... I'd known about it a long time. But this last year, this guy who does a series for the AV Club... It's called the New Cult Canon,
mm-hmm.
where he basically names new cult films that he's, you know, he considers to be. And he did this one a little while ago, and added along with it like a guide on by the group of, there's a society of people that like religiously follow the film around.
Oh my gosh.
And they're the ones who, they actually wrote a rule book about the things you're supposed to do during the movie. And anyway, that it. It's just a really bad film. It's like, it's so ineptly made that it's really not like boring to watch. It's not.
But it's also like
it's not boring.
Other than a few,
like there are way worse movies that I've seen.
Bad,
but they're not
camera
as bad
as this. Camera movements and stuff. It's not like from a technical standpoint terribly badly made. I mean, like the film is exposed reasonably well. I mean, it's kind of bland looking. But it's not like it seems like the people making the movie,
the writing,
yeah, and then the sound for some reason is all dubbed. Like yeah. They just didn't have the sound guy do his job.
Luke always makes mention that it costs something like something ridiculous, like $10 million to make.
No way.
And Luke always says, "Where do you think they?
Yeah.
Where do you think they spent the money? Because if you notice, we were just looking in the credits." You know, half of, like, the entire crew is just the same, like, five people. Like, it's the guy who played Testosterone. It's the guy who played, you know, it's like two of the actors. And it's, like, the cinematographer. And it's, you know, like, best boy was Tommy Wiseau or something like that, you know? Like,
well, he had five assistants and they were also...
He was a key grip and everything.
They were also, like, the line producers and stuff, too.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just this incredible. People,
maybe it was a way to launder like money for like Albanians.
It
or
could
something.
Be. It could just be some big mob thing. But he really truly thinks that he's some artiste.
Oh wow!
And it's this, you know, auteur theory thing.
So when Luke was going to do the documentary, was he taking it? Was he like suggesting it as like a serious, like, I'm going to make you look like you're a real good artist? Or
Luke never says what he's going to make someone look like when he offers them a documentary. But that never happens. He's done that with multiple people. He did it with this this rapper. Gosh, his name was...
He's going to get himself killed doing this.
His name was Gangsta Fag. It was...
No, wasn't this,
it? Yeah.
Okay.
And there was this rapper... And he half his face was painted black and half was painted white. And he was a big black guy, and he claimed to be the only out gay rapper. And the songs were all extremely violent, homoerotic songs, where he talked about how he was gonna find some white men and rape them and mutilate their bodies and things like that. And so Luke thought it was the funniest thing in the world. So did Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's a big fan of it, apparently. Anyway, so yeah, Luke approached this guy and. Talked to, said he was like very frightened by
him. Would you be able to approach him?
I don't think so. Yeah. And anyway, like it turns out years later, like Luke was in contact with this guy who wanted to do a horror film about him and all this stuff. And finally the guy admitted that it was, you know, it was a big show, it was an act.
Yeah.
And then he even put a thing on his website, like, you know, I've been living a lie for all these years.
I'm not really gay.
I'm a straight married man, like, with two kids. Like it's all this ridiculous stuff. He's like, I did this as a social experiment, that sort of thing, you know, like. Whatever. But he did shows. Like, he played shows all the time. And anyway, so the Tommy Wiseau thing is...
similar, maybe. Possibly.
The gangster thing.
It's a lot like gangster thing, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, this movie is just crazy with the overacting and just the writing.
I think it was underacting.
The writing was never...
There was a lot of underacting. The overacting was Tommy Wiseau at times. And the rest was just... Really terrible underacting, but you know what? It's what's funny is that if you watch it, like I've now seen it just the second time, but you notice like you start noticing like the blocking and like his direction of the actors, like what they should do with their faces, and they're doing super like grade school stuff. Like, I want you to suddenly look really shifty eyed. Like when he goes up there and goes, you know, he opens the door to the roof and he goes out and he goes, I did not hit her. I did not. It is a lie. And he goes, oh, hey, Mark, how you doing? And Mark's sitting out there and he's like, hey, man, what's up? And they have a conversation. Then he's like, so what's going on with you, Mark? You know, what's your girl problem? And Mark does that thing where he stands up and he goes over to the edge of the screen. He goes, nothing. Why do you ask? Like that, you know, like that sort of thing. Like the super suspicious, the shifty eye thing. Like, you know, obviously Wiseau has been watching a lot of like, old, either like noir films or something that he thought was like, you know,
he thought he was paying homage.
But this guy, I don't know. There might be something wrong with Tommy Wiseau because, I mean, there's a lot wrong with Tommy Wiseau. But he obviously doesn't know how humans interact.
Yeah.
But like I was just saying to you, this is the work of somebody who was who had to have been deeply, deeply hurt by a woman.
Betrayed
because the whole movie is about this really. Good guy. He's a really good guy. He's just really weird.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he's really muscly. He's got long, flowing black hair. He's got everything.
The knife wounds.
He's got knife wounds all over his body. You set everything you want from a man. Yet, for some reason, everyone keeps betraying him.
Yeah. His best friend.
His best friend.
Everybody
with the drug.
And his future wife as well.
And everyone finds out about his wife sleeping around, but they're just kind of cool with her doing it.
They're like, no, that's the thing. Is that her friend who finds out about her is like, oh my gosh. Oh, wow, that's rad. Are you going to tell him? Yeah. And then she's like, no. And she's like, oh, you have to. It's going to ruin our friendship if you don't tell him. But that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they giggle about it for a while.
Yeah. So basically this guy has had this twist. I don't know what kind of relationship he had with a woman in the past, but this movie seems to be something where he's trying to get back at her with this idea that, you know, you broke up with me. Well, guess what?
I'll kill myself.
And not only that, but everyone I know will betray me. And it's just going to end up with these big tragic things.
You have to cut that out so we spoil the movie.
Spoilers.
Anyway, this all of this happens. And surprise of all surprises, it ends up, people don't like it. They're like, this is terrible. Like when it first comes out. He brought it out of the film festival or something like that. And people were laughing, like laughed it off the stage, like booed it, like tore. I don't know. They probably tore it down the screen and burned the theater.
It was like Gremlins or something.
And so at that point, someone came to him and was like, "You will have a big riotous hit on your hand if you pretend like you meant for this to happen and just show it, like, you know, man up and own that it sucks, and then have people come watch it all the time and make fun of it, and you will make a lot of money." Mm-hmm. And so he was at least smart enough to buy into that, and And now, you know, it shows monthly at some theater in LA, and it also has this touring circuit, and there's people that follow it, like in Rocky Horror Picture and Showgirls and all that stuff now.
Showgirls?
Yeah, they do have Showgirls now, too. Anyway.
I get it. It must be Seth's favorite movie, Showgirls.
Yeah, just, you kind of got defensive.
It's just boring.
But yeah, now they're advertising it now as the hilarious black comedy by Tommy Wiseau, The Room. And I brought the world's greatest film along with me to make you all realize how much you missed my presence.
I definitely agree. So, any more breakdown on that? Do we want to talk a little more about The Room? Anything specific?
Yeah, yeah. So basically
you've got to look at it first.
I got to make sure I can
check the liner notes. On the Laserdisc version that you've got.
The Room. You know, it's about this guy who... And the movie starts letting you know that these people are deeply in love, and they have a deep, loving, caring relationship in San Francisco.
Holds roses.
And so they bang, and it's beautiful, and she's so in love with him. And then immediately afterwards, she's calling his best friend and making it sound like they already have a relationship, even though he claims they don't. She goes, "Hey, baby." And he's like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" You know, like...
I'm really busy.
Like, he tried really hard not to bang her.
Oh, my gosh. She was like, "I can't do this. Johnny's my best friend." She's like, "Come on." He goes, "Okay. All right." All right. And then afterwards, he's like, "You are such a jerk for making me do that. I can't believe
you." Then he bangs her again.
Yeah, then he bangs her again.
The worst part is that Denny never got some. And he was the only
you
one
really wanted Denny to get he's some. He's the only one. Denny was the one. Denny was so earnest, too. He was like...
I really love him.
He was like the Austin of the situation.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever told you the story about how Austin, you know, Chris and I had been dating for a couple of years, and Austin calls me one day and goes, "Hey, man, I just want to let you know that I think I really like, you know, Krista." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And
he's
like,
"That.
So I'm gonna try to get her." And I was like, "All right, man, go for it."
She is his rose.
And Kristen was always kind of upset that I didn't like get angry. But I was like, knock yourself out, man.
Knock yourself out. Which is like almost more of a dick move, to be honest.
I think I just did it because it was awkward.
Yeah.
I was like, "No, that's, I'm, you know, it's cool. I understand."
Uh-huh.
But because I didn't realistically think there was...
You mean the same as Wiseau, when Denny told him that he loved Lisa.
No, but you know, you notice how the dialogue was so bad all the way through. Some people would say something and the other person wouldn't even answer.
Yeah,
they would just kind of change the subject and then it was over.
It was all about moving the plot forward.
People had,
it was all about getting...
Go, though.
It was all about emphasizing that Lisa was a bitch.
Yeah.
That,
so then immediately after their sexy night, Lisa's mother comes over and she goes, "Come in. I'm coming in. You and I are going to sit down right over here. Then we're going to talk." "Okay, talk." And then she's like, "I don't love Johnny anymore." She's like, "You have to love Johnny." "Okay, I've got to go." And then she leaves.
Financial.
And then Denny comes over. Mark comes over.
They toss the football around.
They do a lot of tossing football.
Don't ruin your life by not marrying somebody that you don't love. That was the best.
The subtext, later,
they kind of filled in that her mother was a lot like that. And then they kind of like...
Because the multiple marriages?
Eventually did that and let you know that they were both kind of sociopathic. And,
yeah. And then they had the whole subplot with the drug dealer and Denny.
Yeah, you know, the funniest thing, one thing people love about the movie is the guy comes out of the door and he's like, "Denny."
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "Oh, hey, Chris R."
Yeah, like, what's your
name? I've seen on some message boards before for it, somebody wrote, "Is the guy's name Chris R and spells it C-H-R-I-S-S-A-R?" Like he's some alien overlord or something. "I am Chris R." But no, but it's like, you know, Chris with an R and an apostrophe, or an R and a period. Like, his name is Chris Redfield and they wanted to, you know...
Like he doesn't know his last name or something. Or like in the original version of the screenplay, he had one of the characters named Chris. Like Denny was named Chris, and he's changed that, but just kept Chris.
All
R
the characters'
Chris
names
R.
were Chris, and they with a last initial. But yeah, that guy's furious that Denny. I mean, basically everything that happens is almost like completely unrelated to the main plot, which is
there was a main plot.
Lisa wants to cheat on Johnny, and then she doesn't. She kind of doesn't know if she should tell him or not. She never even has like.
There's the fake pregnancy though.
But she never has any motivation. Like, what is she motivated to do in the movie?
She want because Johnny had a good job, so she wanted to get married to him.
No, but she doesn't.
She doesn't.
Her mom has to keep convincing her about it.
She even sets that thing up where she tries to get him drunk so then she could say that he hit her to all of her friends to try and get the friends against him.
Yeah, I think she wants to leave him, really.
And she
just
looking
really want to tell him.
She's looking for everybody. She's looking for excuses other than herself.
She's
a total
bitch.
That's the whole point.
Why she should stay. But at the same time, she doesn't seem like she really wants to stay because she doesn't want to talk to him about it. because he's really sensitive. And she keeps saying how great a guy he is.
He was a great guy.
He is a great guy. He's a wonderful guy.
He just wants to throw the football.
Mm-hmm. He just wants to throw on the football. He wants to jog with his friends.
He told that one guy that the other guy pushed and knocked down. He's like, hey, if you're okay, you know, you call me anytime.
Yeah, anytime you want. He didn't push him. He put the football on his stomach, and he was so surprised by that.
That he fell crazy into a dumpster.
That he fell onto some trash cans. When the guy was telling his hilarious story about the thing that had just happened, that we just saw.
The underwear thing.
That's right.
The dad, no contact.
That guy was really funny, though, the comic relief friend.
Yeah, the goofy guy.
Think about the character's name that this Albanian or Lithuanian guy named the characters. Johnny, Denny, Mark, Peter.
Mike.
Yeah,
Lisa. Basic names.
Like, he just went with names that he got off The Simpsons and basic. Like, yeah. Cheers and stuff like that.
No Sam, though.
No.
The Sam Free.
So I don't know. Yeah, I of course, I laughed really hard the first time I saw it, and you see new things the second times that you wish you hadn't seen. There's four extremely long, really awkward.
You promised five.
I thought I was thinking there's five, but you know, I always think of the one when the two people come in the house you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. They start having sex on the couch, except for they don't really.
It's the candy thing.
The guy makes the weird googly eye face when the girl's head starts going down lower. He's like, oh!
Yeah, that's right. It reminds me of Psylac when he was stuck in a helicopter with the clown.
With the clown. The killer clown.
The true star of the movie.
Sci-fi bad guy Psylac.
FX.
It's an oddity of a film. Like, and it's got something for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's got, you know, for people who want the revenge thing against women, like, you know.
Yeah,
the thing to if a woman wrongs you, you make a film about how much you feel betrayed. So that's the one thing.
Yeah.
There's also a thing that if you like really awesome, good film sex scenes with pretty people in them, then you also will want to watch this movie.
This is for sure. With the water and
if you like
the
football,
roses.
You'll love
you're a sports
movie.
Fan.
If you like drug films, like intrigue about like the drug dealing and things
exactly.
like that.
A little,
like that.
Little mystery and
romantic
little
comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff about the alcohol industry.
Yeah.
Full House.
Psychology. There's lots of psychology in it. There's lots of Full House in it.
Uh-huh.
There's people who like Christopher Walken and Zeppelin's will like the Golden Gate Bridge scenes.
Yes, exactly. If you're a fan of View to a Kill.
But there, I mean, just this guy's grasp on reality is so bad because he probably does, in real life. I don't think he really does drink because his idea of what a good drink would be is she comes in with these two half full glasses of scotch. She says she's going to mix him a drink, and then she ends up topping him off with just vodka. Looks like
just thinning him out,
And he's like, you know I don't drink. And he's not looking at her in the eye like he always doesn't do. And then he ends up tasting it, and he goes, you're right, it is good.
Because scotch and vodka
because that would
together.
Taste so delicious.
It would be,
it would be horrendous.
Yeah.
Sipping a glass of one of those on its own, like neat like that, is bad enough.
Like a full glass, that's bad news. I mean, that's like
that's why you mix them.
I'm pretty sure it would taste like gasoline.
How do you know it's scotch? Did they say that?
It could have been rum,
looks like it was
or
scotch.
It could have been whiskey. But even so,
maybe it was root beer.
It looks like scotch to me.
Yeah,
root beer,
fizzless root beer.
It was scotch.
Yeah,
and then they show how you know, like seriously, everything does. Like they show how drunk they are by she has his tie around her head. Like everything's like from an episode of Happy Days. Like he knows how people interact by having watched American television, but like dubbed poorly back in his homeland. And then he came over to America and happened into a bunch of money somehow, probably through drug dealing.
And now he's successful with the room.
And now he's quasi successful. Yeah,
that's not quasi.
He's not fully successful. He's a laughing stock. You think that's being successful?
I don't know.
It's like better than
like
nothing.
How many Snookies do you rate him as, right?
Who's more successful? Snookie or Johnny? Probably so.
Snookie's charging like $2,000 or $3,000 to do parties. She goes to parties like
and just drinks at them?
Yeah, and then people pay her $3,000 to like show
over.
Up. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'm pretty solid does that, except when she gets like $1,000,000.
Yeah.
That's a big thing with those parties. You have Ian,
celebrities. I bet you we could pull together with the poker guys like $20 to get Ian a drink at the next party.
Would you do that if we paid for it?
I would, yeah. If I didn't have to drive anywhere.
Why would you have to drive at your own house?
Well, if it's here,
So we put together enough money and we might see the beast.
Oh, sure.
The thing is, this is a little scary though because the Beast used to come out like a couple times a year, and now it hasn't been out in like.
Oh yeah. So you think the build up for the Beast is gonna
it might not be something.
It might just be bloated and tired and not have gotten out enough to get exercise.
He won't even be able to flip over.
I'm the Beast. Oh man. Or or it could be the opposite. It could be something we don't want.
It could be some massive cathartic explosion. Yeah. Rage.
It could be like you're tearing us apart.
You're tearing us apart.
Yeah.
Not look at anybody.
Yeah, I always kind of look to the side like you got like
you're
a
tearing
neck.
Me apart, Lisa.
No, I'm doing.
You bitch.
You're tearing me apart.
Dude, if the SNL had their salt, then they would have him host.
No, see, that's the thing that, like, Tim and Eric did pretty well. And, you know, what's funny is that Tim and Eric has really aimed at an L.A. audience, because a lot of the things they do is, like, you know, a lot of those people they have on their show are actually, like, public access people from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, the Tom Wiseau thing is something most of the people in L.A. would know if they cared about bad movies at all. But his thing on there was, like, was really strange because it's almost like he had to know it was a comedic show, right? And they even gave him a comedy sketch to do. Did you see that episode?
I've seen the episode, I just don't remember.
It starts with some unintentionally funny, or intentionally not funny thing that Tim and Eric are doing. Eric's really excitedly telling Tim about this new bit he has called Pig Man. and then they show a live shot of them playing it to an audience. And the audience is really like, confused because Eric's thing is he goes, I'm Pigman. Then he winks a lot and looks at Tim, and Tim cracks up because he thinks it's the funniest thing. Well, he keeps saying I'm Pigman over and over. So then later they basically give Tommy Wiseau a chance to do that character in a sketch. And all he does in the sketch is he keeps coming in the room and there's a woman in there, and he walks around with a jacket over his head for a minute and he goes, I am Pigman. I am Pigman. Then he goes, I'll be back in 2 minutes. And then he goes out of the room and he comes back in and he does a lot of winking and a lot of weird avant-garde stuff. Then he says he's Pigman again. Then he says, I'll be back in 2 minutes. And then he keeps leaving. But at one point they interview him about what he thinks comedy is. And he says something about how what's comedy, what real comedy is when you do something so strange that it makes people say, huh? Huh? Like that, like, huh? And then you do something else strange, and people go, huh? Like his explanation of it was, I said, I don't know if he's in on the joke or not. You don't know.
That sounds like maybe he is, because that was a lot of huh in that movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, as Americans and as, you know, post 20th century adolescent, whatever, we're kind of like no longer in the huh phase. We're in the like ha 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 ha, that's stupid phase, I guess. So. Yeah.
So what do you give this movie?
What do I give this movie? We'll give The Room?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I give The Room a quarter star out of 5.
But you liked it though.
I'd sit through it once for the pedagogical value.
No. You enjoy watching it. He laughs way more than you did.
He did, yes. I think...
I thought you were muffling it, though. You were stifling your laughter.
No, I laughed when I was laughing. I don't know, you know, like I said, I work on this kind of level of low-budget type of movie, and so to me, I wouldn't say it hits home, but it's like a little tough to you hope, you're like, oh boy, I sure hope the stuff I'm working on is better than this.
There's no way it is.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they had tens of millions.
That's true. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, no, I give it like, okay, I'll give it like, seriously, I'll give it like 1 out of 5.
I'll give it a 5.
Okay. You give it
5. What about you?
It's your synecdoche, huh?
I won't even rate it until somebody tells me which room was the room.
Yeah.
I think, I want to say probably the bedroom is the room.
That's what I think. Ian's
except they only...
Because that's where they bang. And that's
he was only betrayed in the bedroom once, and then there was the stairs. The stairs were spiral.
Maybe the stairs is the room.
The stairs? You think that's the room?
No, I think the bedroom. Ian, you think the living room?
I really do, because there was higher percentage of the movie actually took place...
They could have called it the room.
Or the roof. Yeah. Or the coffee shop.
With the coffee shop.
There was a coffee shop.
Just long enough for him to tell his friend that he couldn't tell him what deal they got, and then he left.
Yeah.
What about your sex life?
Oh, I can't tell you about that, Mark. How's your sex life?
Jesus. No, I'd give it a... it's...
You enjoyed it, right?
It's funnier than any of the...
It's funnier than any...
50 Sci-Fi Channel movies.
Yeah, and it's funnier than most, like, comedies, also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's so funnier than The Hangover.
Oh, absolutely.
But only because of Denny and Tommy.
Yeah, Denny was great, man. I want to get that kid to do my bar mitzvah.
The thing with Danny on the roof talking to the old lady and then Lisa was just...
Yeah, that was great.
That was...
It's just, they were all so hysterical. Like, so upset.
He's talking to the psychologist. He's asking to be a psychologist. And he's like, why do you always got to be a psychologist?
Why do you always have to play psychologist with me? Come on, Peter. You are a psychologist.
I'd say it's like a four.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, guys.
It's a great film. If you can get Luke to burn for you, you should totally do it.
I think maybe I'll call that favor when
I'm here. I meant all the listeners.
Harsh words spoken and lives are broken. False for aging. Help me, I'm fading. Heaven's waiting. It's time to move on. Crossing that bridge.
Dark subject matter.
Not gonna make your racist comment on there.
No, because the context is not correct.
The thing about Albanians?
No, the thing about Tyler Perry.
Oh, it being a black comedy.
Yeah.
Like the thing Tyler Perry writes. Yeah. It's not really racist.
Okay.
It's just a joke about Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
He's back.
Did you tell the listeners that you're back?
Oh no, I've been back for a while. As far as
they know about it, the listeners all know.
Zach's back now, though. That's a momentous occasion.
It is.